Thanks for listening to the Journey Christian Church podcast. We're on a mission to make disciples who love God, love people, and serve the world. Our prayer is that this message encourages you today. And remember, Journey is a place where everybody's welcome, nobody's perfect, and through Jesus, anything is possible.
So we're in this series called Separation of Church and Hate. And Pastor Harvey kicked it off last week, did a great job talking on civility. Didn't he do a great job? It was Pastor Harvey, yeah, awesome. Did a great job. And really the idea that this whole idea is kind of, we're looking at the election and saying, okay, what does it mean? How do we posture ourselves as a believer in an election year? And so we have this saying here that everybody is welcome, nobody's perfect, and through Jesus, anything's possible. Last week, we talked about this idea that everyone's welcome and we kind of walk through civility. Today, we're gonna talk about how nobody is perfect and we're gonna do that and talk about humility. And then next week, we're gonna be able to finish that and we'll talk about unity, which very, very excited. And so as we're gearing up for this series, Pastor John and I sometimes will just pass on different resources to each other. And he knew that I was gonna talk on humility. And so he sent me an email maybe a month ago. He sent me an email and he said, hey, here are some resources on humility for your message. And I just responded back, I don't need your help in my preparation for my message on humility. Thanks though. And I just hit send. And so that was my response back to him. It's important that you realize that I was joking. Okay, so that was a joke. I did not respond that way. Here's the thing when it comes to this idea, this series, in a sense. You're gonna come across a lot of people that are going to vote different than you. You just are, and you can't help that, okay? And that's okay. There's all kinds of different things to vote on. We're not all gonna align perfectly. But what would it look like if somebody that you knew, a coworker or a neighbor said, I don't like how you vote, but I love how you live. And I think that's the mark of a believer that might say, listen, I don't like how you vote, but I can't get around the way you carry yourself, the way you just radiate the love of Jesus. That's messing with me. And so that's kind of what we want to talk about because it's centered in this idea of humility. Pat Williams, who's one of the men that is responsible for bringing the Orlando Magic to Orlando, he wrote a book called Humility. And in his book, he shares a story about these kids and how they have a treehouse. And every good treehouse always has a set of rules. And it's no different with this treehouse. And there are three rules to this treehouse. Rule number one, don't be bigger than you are. Rule number two, don't be smaller than you are. Rule number three, be medium. And I love that because you don't want to be bigger than you are. That's arrogant. You don't want to be smaller than you are because that's insecurity. You want to be medium, and being medium is the sweet spot of you finding your lane and how God has wired and formed you, but not drawing attention to you, bringing glory and attention to Jesus. And so today we're going to walk through what does it look like to be medium and what does it mean in this idea of humility. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 18. If you don't have your Bibles, it's all good. We're going to have it on the screen, or you can download the Bible app on your device or smartphone. So we're in Luke 18, verse 9. And this is what it says. It says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on anyone else, Jesus told this parable. So right off the bat, we know who he's addressing. He's telling a parable to two groups of people. Those who were confident of their own righteousness and those who looked down on everyone else. And here's what I know about these two camps. Whenever we hear these things, the majority of the time, we rarely think that we are in these camps. The majority of the time, our mind goes to somebody else that we think has it all together, or they look down on us, or they're self-righteous. You see, this is one of the things that our bias and our arrogance actually blinds us through. And my encouragement today is that you would listen to this, not thinking of somebody else, but with the possibility that God might be speaking to you. God might be speaking to me. And here's what I know. The longer that you and I follow Jesus, the greater the temptation to be arrogant. Let me say it again. The longer you and I follow Jesus, the greater the temptation, not on purpose, but accidentally be arrogant. You see, when people give their lives to Christ, a new believer, there isn't arrogance. They're very aware of their sin. They're very aware of their shame, and they're very aware of their need for a savior. It's us church folk that have been going to church for 5, 10, 20, 30 years that we've gotten so comfortable that we act like we don't sin anymore. And that's where we need to be cautious. And we don't need to lose the humility just because we have years under our belt. Luke 18:10 says this, two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. So a Pharisee is a Jewish leader with strict religious rules that they would abide by. And a tax collector worked for the Roman Empire, which is an oppressor. And so you got this oppressor, and so you got this agent that's coming from the oppressor. So it's already hated. However, this person most of the time was also Jewish. So it's one of them representing the oppressor. And not only would they take the tax from them, they would take even more. And so this person is very, very hated, also known as cheating and scamming, just kind of slimy. And so in some ways, you have two polar opposites in this Jewish context. You have a Pharisee and you have a tax collector. And then Jesus goes on to say, the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all that I get. Verse 13, but the tax collector, listen to the humility, the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. He beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. You see, this is the moment that Jesus is putting servant leadership on the map. It used to be anybody that was at the top, they would use their power to rule. And Jesus is changing the game, and he's saying, no, who's ever at the top is a servant. And in the midst of this, in the center of this is humility. And so Jesus introduces this idea. And so what I want to do today is I want to walk through three areas that you and I can grow in humility. If you're taking notes, here's the first one. Remember that nobody is perfect. Remember that nobody is perfect. Some of you need to remember that for other people. Some of you need to remember that for yourself. Nobody is perfect. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us, every single one of you have fallen short. Your neighbor that you're sitting next to right now is a sinner. And some of you are like, I know, that's why I drug them here. Calm down, okay? All of us are sinful before God. And when I think of this verse, when I think of this idea of me, a sinful person, trying to keep up with my Heavenly Father, if I were to put this on video, I don't think there's a better video that illustrates what it's like for me trying to keep up with my Heavenly Father. Check this out.
Ready? And go. Go.
Come on now, that's funny. Listen, that's what it looks like with us trying to follow our Heavenly Father. It's not even close. Everybody around you already knows you're sinful. The only person that doesn't know that is you. Everybody already knows you can't do a cartwheel. You can't even come close. We need to stop pretending and letting other people think that, hey, yeah, we can do that. We can't. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We can't, but there is good news for that. There is good news, and we'll get to that. I remember when my wife and I, we went to school in Jacksonville, we went to a church. And the church had this tagline. It was imperfect, ? You'll fit right in. And I love that. The idea was, hey, we want people that aren't self-righteous, but are okay with broken people. And so one time they did this campaign where they created these magnetic bumper stickers. And what they did is they wanted it to say imperfect, ? You'll fit right in. But somewhere between their graphic designer and the printer, things went a little haywire. And when they got them back, they got thousands of bumper stickers that it literally misspelled the word imperfect. Literally, it misspelled the word imperfect. And so the pastor had to make a decision. What do I do with thousands of these? They're misspelled. And so he decided, you know what? Let's just keep them. I think that might be a divine coincidence. And so they ended up keeping them. So everywhere around Jacksonville at the time, you saw all these misspelled imperfect. You'll fit right in. And Journey, my prayer is that this would be a place where people that already know they're imperfect would feel like they belong, because they don't sense a self-righteousness about us, but they sense a no. No, I too am a sinner saved by the grace. You can sit next to me. It's okay. All sinners are always welcome here. The reason it's important that you always remember that nobody is perfect is because of this. If you don't think that you have sin, then you don't need a savior. You see, the Pharisee prayed as if he didn't need a savior. Did you catch that? He prayed because he wasn't understanding his sin, and because of that, his prayer wasn't to God. He didn't need a God. He was good. And the more that you forget your sin, the more you forget your need for a savior. You and I need to be so aware that it is our sin that put my Jesus on a cross. And the more I'm aware of that, the more I make him the Lord of my life. The more I forget that, the more I don't need him. This is what Luke 5:31 says. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You see, Jesus comes for those that are sick. And if you're sick and you need a doctor, that's good news. This is what 1 John 1:8 says. It says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I love that. I love how Pastor Ed Young Jr. described it. He says it like this. He says, whatever we try to cover up, God uncovers. But whatever we try to uncover, God covers up. Isn't that good? You see, when we have sin and we lay it before God, he covers it up. And that's what Isaiah says. He makes us whiter than snow. But when we try to hide our sin, God says, I see it and I'm gonna reveal it. And so when we come clean with God, and this is one of the things that David in the Bible did so well. David is known as a man after God's own heart. And in Psalm 51, we see this with this prayer of repentance. You see, David was just caught in this mess of sin. And instead of him just keep trying to weasel himself out, he says, it's a great prayer, but I'm just gonna give you a piece of it. In Psalm 51:17, it says, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise. You see, God has this way that he can't ignore humility. And I love that about God. But here's the thing, David had that humble posture when things weren't going right. But check this out, when everything was going great, 1 Chronicles 17:16, everything's going good in his life, this is what he says. Who am I, Lord God, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? You see, whether life is going good or whether you're in the middle of sin, humility always looks good on you. And that's what David said, man, who am I, Lord God, that you've been so good to me that you brought my family this far? And he has the same posture when he's caught up in sin. And I think it was David's humility, which is why he was considered a man after God's own heart. The second way that we grow in humility is this, is to embrace the art of self-forgetfulness. Embrace the art of self-forgetfulness. There's a gentleman named Richard Bass, no relation to the chairman of our elders, David Bass, and he's the first person to climb the 7 summits. And if you're not familiar with that, I wasn't really familiar with that. There's this thing where he climbed the 7 tallest mountains on the 7 continents, which to me is crazy. Like, I can't even imagine dreaming that. I can't even imagine packing for that. But this man did that, which is quite impressive. Not only do I think it's impressive, he really thought it was impressive because he ended up going on and on and on about it as he sat right next to somebody on an airplane. And so for hours, this story goes on that he was flying next to somebody and just kept going on about himself. And then right before they landed, he realized, you know what? I didn't even really get to meet this guy. Let me find out his name and kind of go from there, even though we don't have a lot of time. He said, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't even catch your name. And he said, no, the guy sitting next to him stuck out his hand and shook his hand. He said, no worries, my name's Neil Armstrong. No big deal. Only the first person to walk on the moon. I love Neil Armstrong. He had this self-forgetfulness about himself, right? He sat for hours listening to this guy that he could have easily just trumped him anytime. He could have easily just destroyed him. But he just let him go and he just listened. And he forgot about, Neil Armstrong forgot about Neil Armstrong for a minute. And he was just focused in on this other gentleman. And I love that. He had the art of self-forgetfulness. I think Jesus models this brilliantly as well. I don't know if you've ever heard of this idea called the Messiah complex. The Messiah complex is sometimes for some of us that we try to solve other people's problem. We try to be their Messiah to fix everything. And we don't just try to solve it and fix them. We almost have that need in us. And then we need that attention that goes along with that. We want to fix and we want the glory from it. It's this idea of Messiah complex. Well, Jesus didn't have a Messiah complex. As a matter of fact, there's something else that theologians describe that he had. It's called the Messianic secret. And the Messianic secret, especially in the Gospel of Mark, is this idea that Jesus, whenever he would do a miracle or the supernatural, or he would do something, he would do it on the down low and he would tell people, hey, keep this between us. Hey, keep this quiet. And there was this idea that he was being awesome in secret. And here's the thing. The one person that could have had the Messiah complex had a Messianic secret. And he was not only okay, he loved being in the background, being a secret servant. And that's our Messiah. If there's anybody that could have stepped out with arrogance, it would have been Jesus. And he said, no. I belong in the posture of a servant. When I was in high school, a ministry that changed my life, a big part of my life, is called FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Absolutely a big fan of FCA. They're an on-campus ministry that tries to reach the whole school, but really connects with athletes. And I went to camp one time, and I was introduced to this idea called the I Am Third Award. And the I Am Third Award is very simple. It's those that put God first, others second, and yourselves third. And so what they would do during chapel every day is they would nominate somebody that deserves the I Am Third Award. So they would bring somebody up, one of the campers, one of the athletes, and they would give in front of everybody, they would give the I Am Third Award. And then because they are athletes, they just do things different. Then everybody would do what's called two claps. So they would say, hey, we're going to give the I Am Third Award to Pastor Eddie Schmidt. And then everybody would just do two claps together in unison. Well, right now I am going to give the I Am Third Award to a group of people. Not just one person, but to a group of people. Sorry, Pastor Eddie, that's just an example. I'm not giving it to you, okay? I don't know if you know this or not, but every Wednesday we have what's called a Wednesday work crew, and I wanna give the I Am Third Award to the Wednesday work crew. If you are here and you serve on the Wednesday work crew, would you go ahead and stand up? I know we had a lot in the last service. If you serve on the Wednesday work crew, thank you. Thank you. I was gonna say, no. Simon didn't say sit down. You gotta stand back up. I'm glad that you stood up because it was gonna make it seem like I was making this up, but so you're here. So here's the deal. The Wednesday work crew, they come and serve. They come and fix things. They paint things. They clean things. Anything that they could do just to help serve Journey, and you don't even know. And this is a picture of some of the gentlemen and some of the ladies. And listen, just because they serve doesn't mean they have humility. You can serve and not be humble, but you can't be humble and not serve. And so I'm not giving them the I Am Third just because they serve. I'm giving them the I Am Third because the way that you serve is so good and you do it with such class and such humility. And so I just want to say thank you for how you serve. As a matter of fact, we had, and hang with me, stay up for one second. I had a couple weeks ago, I had one of the gentlemen, he was fixing the coffee cart, and he said, thanks for breaking the coffee cart, which I didn't break the coffee cart. And so he said, thanks for breaking the coffee cart. And I was like, you know, what do you mean, thanks? And he goes, well, if there wasn't a broken coffee cart, I wouldn't have anything to fix. And he was having fun, but he was very serious. He's like, hey, we love doing this. Thank you. He wasn't complaining. He wasn't cynical. There's just this spirit. As a matter of fact, this is what, and then I'll let you sit down in one second. I think this is describes y'all brilliantly. Dr. Brian Lauritz says this, gentleness is what humility looks like in public. Gentleness is what humility looks like in public. So this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna give them two claps all together in unison. Now listen, you're the second service. The first service knocked it out of the park. Okay, we're not saying this is a competition, but I'm just letting you know they did a great job. So on the count of three, we're gonna do one, two, three, and then we're gonna give them two claps and we're gonna do it all together, okay? Here we go. One, two, three. Oh, that was good. Y'all can have a seat now. Can we give them a big round of applause now? Y'all, that was actually, y'all were really good. That was good. Thank you so much for how you serve. And maybe one of you are thinking, hey, I would love to know more about that. I would love to serve on Wednesdays. You're more than welcome. You can talk to Gary, who helps oversee our facilities. And it's just a great group of men and women that just come together and serve. Really, really cool. The third way that we can grow in our humility is this. As you grow in your success, grow in your humility. As you grow in your success, grow in your humility. And I'm telling you, this isn't easy. It's actually very, very, very difficult. As you grow in your success, grow in your humility. Peyton Manning, I remember I was watching this game on a Thursday night in 2013 that he played. He was playing for the Denver Broncos, and I was watching this live. And it was a Thursday night. He was playing the Baltimore Ravens. And I noticed something weird during the game. I don't know if I ever noticed this about Peyton or really any quarterback. Is Peyton was scoring touchdowns, but after he was scoring touchdowns, he was almost sprinting to the sidelines. And at first, I thought he was doing this to celebrate with other teammates on the sideline. And as the camera followed him, he wasn't celebrating with other teammates. What he was doing is he was running to the sidelines as fast as possible, and he had an iPad out. One of the coaches had an iPad, and they already had pictures of the drive that they just scored on, and he was looking at pictures to see how he could have done better, to see how the defense was reading him, to see all these things. And I'm thinking, I literally had to rewind it. I thought maybe there was an interception. He messed up and he's trying. And so I rewound it, realized, no. He just scored a touchdown. And after a touchdown, goes and evaluates himself that quickly. That night was extra special because he scored 7 touchdowns, which tied an NFL record that hadn't been touched in 44 years. And so it wasn't just the humility displayed during the game. After the game, there was an interview with one of the reporters, and this is the conversation transcript of the interview. And it almost seems like the interviewer is baiting him to take all this arrogant credit, and he doesn't take the bait. This is what the reporter says. Is that the best game of your career? Manning, I don't know. I guess I haven't had a whole lot of time to think about it. Our offensive line did a great job protecting against a tough bunch up front. Number 2, did you think 7 touchdowns was possible in an NFL game considering it's been 44 years? He said, well, yeah, Joe Capp, a great Canadian quarterback out of Cal, destroyed a guy on YouTube a couple years ago. So here we're talking about an NFL record and he's talking about some guy on YouTube. Third time, you've had many magical days and nights in your career, but do you understand the magnitude of this? Manning, it was a great team win. That's humility. You see, the better Peyton Manning got, the more humble he got. And I love that about Peyton. I love that. That's he makes that look easier than it is. And so what I want to do is I want to take you to the whiteboard, and I'm going to let you inside my head. I'm going to ask that you do something though. As I let you inside my head, I'm going to ask that you don't look around because it's a little crazy in there, okay? So I'm going to take you inside, and I want to show you and introduce you to something called Mount Humble. Okay, so this is Mount Humble. Okay, one of the things is I'm not really good at drawing either. Okay, so this is a mountain. Everybody nod your head. You agree? Okay, some of you aren't sure. It's a mountain, okay? So here's the deal with Mount Humble, and this is kind of the way I process things in my own head. So this is Mount Humble. It is never easy ever to be humble. Okay, we all agree. It's never easy to be humble. I don't care who you are, where you're at. I don't think it's ever easy to be humble. However, it is easiest to be humble when you're at the bottom of the mountain. It is the easiest when you are starting something right here. It is easy to be humble at the beginning of a marriage or a relationship. It is easy to be humble when you start a project. It is easier to be humble your freshman year of high school than your senior year of high school. Your freshman year, you're thinking, man, I got my calendar figured out. I know exactly where to go. I know what time to be on in class. Your senior year, you don't even show up for class, right? So it's never easy to be humble, but it's easiest at the bottom of the mountain. And here's what my prayer for you is. My prayer is that God would give you favor in your relationships. God would give you favor in your business. God would give you favor in your walk with him, that God would give you more and more favor. But this is what I need. As you get favor and God takes you up and up, as you get favor, my question is this. Do you have the humility that could sustain the favor that God wants to give you? Because here's what I know. Proverbs 16, 18 says this. It said, pride comes before the what? Fall. So here's what I believe. God is going to give you a win, maybe relationally or maybe professionally. You're going to get a win. Some areas of your life, you're going to get a win. And if you don't grow in your humility, okay? So if your humility, we're meant to grow along in our success. If your humility doesn't, if it kind of flatlines, then what you've just done is you just peaked in whatever area you're trying, and that now became your lid. You see, the moment that you are no longer asking questions, you don't have a humble posture, you're not repenting, you're not trying to get better, that moment is the moment that you peaked, and now that's as high as you're ever gonna go. But the moment you continue to have a humble posture and ask questions and try to grow, try to be a student, that means the sky is the limit. And my prayer for you is that God would allow you to reach your God-given potential and that you would just go up and up and up. And I believe that questions are a sign of growth. I think that you should be asking more questions in year 20 of your marriage than maybe you did in year one. I think you should be asking more questions if you're in your master's degree or if you're starting your own business in year 10 or whatever the case. We should be asking more questions in these seasons than this, because that's a sign of humility. And that's what Peyton Manning's doing. He's constantly asking questions. Hey, coach, what about this? What about that? That's why he was able to continue to thrive. Here's a couple questions if you're wondering, okay, well, what kind of questions? Here's two questions I would encourage you to ask. These are very, very, very difficult questions. The first question is this. Can people talk to you about you? Can people talk to you about you? Now, I already know you know the answer. All of you think other people can talk to you about you, but that's not the real answer. So don't ask yourself that question, ask other people that question. That's why this is a hard question. Can other people talk to you about you? Ask the people in your inner circle. Ask a close friend, ask a spouse, ask a coworker, ask somebody that works for you. Can other people talk to you about you? And don't defend, just listen. Here's the second question. Pastor Jeff Henderson said, ask this question. What's it like to be on the other side of me? That's a scary question. What's it like to be on the other side of me? About 4 years ago, I made the mistake of asking my kids that question. I will never do that again. I'm just kidding. I did ask them that, and it's scary. What's it like to be on the other side of me? We should be asking questions. Questions are a sign of growth. Questions are a sign of humility. Those are two questions that you could ask in any season that you're in. We're in this election cycle, so I'm gonna give you a little pop quiz. Does anybody know who the 16th president of the United States was? 16th president. Man, two claps for you. Man, Abraham just shot his hand up. All right, Abraham Lincoln. Unfortunately, you're wrong. I'm just kidding, that is right. You're right, Abraham Lincoln, good job. Yeah, Abraham Lincoln, 16th president of the United States. And he was in his room and taking care of something at one time, and one of his employees walked in and said, Mr. President, why are you shining your own boots? And President Lincoln looked up and he goes, well, whose boots should I be shining? And it's just that sense of humility. No matter how much he just went up and up, humility was there. I love, there's a book written by him called Team of Rivals, which doesn't sound like it would make sense. How is it a team and rivals? But it's called Team of Rivals. And the whole idea is there was this magnetic humility that Abraham Lincoln had. And when he was in an election, whenever he was running against somebody, whoever he was running against, I don't know, I'd be fascinated to understand how this happened. He would beat them. And after he beat them in the election, they would end up to serve on his team. The majority of the people that he beat ended up serving on his cabinet. How is that possible? How do you run against somebody that is a rival, but now they're a teammate? You are running against them and now they're running with you. How is that? Historians tell us it's because of his humility. He had this humility that made people say, I might not like how you vote, but I love how you live. Journey, may the people in our community say, I don't know if I would vote like you, but I sure want to figure out how to live like you. You have something different about you. There's this humility that radiates the love of Jesus. And I want more of that in my life. And that begins with humility. And in this election, we got coming several days away. may you and I not see the neighbor or the coworker that votes differently as a rival, but as a neighbor that we're called to love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much for my friends here today and those listening and joining online. And God, I pray, would you mark us with a sense of humility? God, I thank you that you don't ignore humility, that you can't ignore humility. God, that you are just so ready to forgive when we just show 1 ounce of humility. And so God, thank you for that. Thank you for being a God quick to forgive, quick to give grace. And God, I pray in this season where it seems like all of America might have rivals, may we not have rivals, may we have neighbors that we're eager to love, eager to serve, because that's what you called us to do. And may we point to you every step of the way. And so Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
If you like this podcast, we post a new message every week. So make sure to click that follow button and share it with your friends. Remember, Journey is a place where everybody's welcome. Nobody's perfect. And through Jesus, anything is possible.